Everyone here today, we have a pretty full house today. I'd like to thank our visitors in here for visiting with us. We know that you have your mind on spiritual matters, and that's why we're all here to learn more about God's will for us. So we invite you to come back with any opportunities that you have to meet with us. For the members on the sick list, don't have anybody who's physically sick and not with us. Dave mentioned to me that on this Thursday, he's going to a neurologist to have them check on some nerve problems that he's having with his hands and legs, and see if they can identify what the issues are there. So let's remember Dave in our prayers this Thursday. And also, as most of you know, I think Kevin and Samantha are expecting, so we want to keep them in our prayers for the upcoming months, and we'll just let them know that we're thinking about them and anxiously awaiting that day, as I know they are. Members out of town today, the Wigginton's, Keith and Carrie and their family are in Owensboro today, and Courtney and her family are returning from vacation today. So, and those members are out of town. Also, we want to remember to pray for the building renovation. So we're still in the process of procuring funds for the renovation for the building. Chuck and I will be meeting some this week with the architect and looking at some of the plans, and we need to get all that laid out and get the permit with the state approved, and then once the funds are there, then we can move forward with that. So we'll keep you updated along those lines. Also, most of you got the email that Mark Nevins sent out about the bulletin, so just make sure to review that list of people that you're mailing the bulletins to, and make sure that you agree with the list that he has there. And he may be doing some shuffling around so that no one has, 10 and somebody else is sending out 2. We try to even it out so that we're all carrying the same load. So just let Mark know if you have anything that needs to be adjusted in that list that he sent. He also said that the Romans lesson is out there on in PDF format on the website, so you can go out there and print that for use for the Bible study on Romans. And then this is Mackenzie's last day with us. She'll be heading back to New Mexico. She'll be leaving tomorrow. So please be sure that you let Mackenzie know that you appreciated her spending this last month and a half or so with us. The order of worship service this morning, appropriate time, will ask Brother Warren Wright if he were to lead us in our opening word of prayer. Communion this morning will be led by Brother Mark Kaysen. He'll be assisted by Brother James. Tony Barron will be leading us in singing this morning, and he selected song number 572 as our first song. So please take your songbooks and prepare to sing 572 as we join in praise to God. Chuck will be preaching for us this morning, and at the conclusion of service, we'll ask Brother Andrew if he would to lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the services. So we're all glad that you're here today, and please join us in our worship service. Sing song number 572.
Sing the first, second, fourth verse. First, second, fourth verse. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Don't you call today? Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Forevermore. Let us not grow weary. in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light of the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
730, 730, we'll sing this song for alternate prayer. 730.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forget.
Worship you in spirit and truth. To Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the message that you've given us, the message for salvation, the message for living our lives, daily lives. Lord, we pray that we'll always be a humble and special people in your eyes. We strive daily to do those things. To Heavenly Father, we pray for those of our number who are not with us today, who are traveling. Pray that you be with them. Lord, we also take time to pray for our sister Pam Bays, struggles with issues of cancer. Pray for her family also at this time, Lord. Pray that your healing hand and your mercy and grace can be upon them. Heavenly Father, we pray for the work that's being done here. We're thankful for the elders and the efforts they put forth and the deacons, all the work that's being done. Striving daily to achieve the goals, to extend your word in this area, Lord. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful most of all for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He took on the flesh of a man to come to teach us, Lord. Teach us how to live our lives and not sin. Teach us the way to salvation. And also willing to make that perfect sacrifice upon that cross. For all of each and every one of us. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into this period of worship, we pray that you be with us. We pray that we remain strong, dear Heavenly Father. We also pray, Lord, that you forgive us where we fail. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We take the song, let's turn to 784. 784. Dear song before we take the Lord's Supper. 784.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. Precious life for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so.
Chapter beginning verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, we read these passages many times, and they're very familiar to most of us. And I was, as I was thinking this morning, and what I was going to say, and what passages I was going to use, it occurred to me that, you know, even though these are very simple passages that we hear over and over and over, it's so very important that we continue to read these passages and do what they say. Because the day that we stop reading these simple passages is the day that we put ourselves at risk of not observing this memorial in the proper way. And we know from examples over in the Church of Corinth that they got it wrong. And Paul had to correct those things for them. So it's certainly possible. You would pray with me. Father, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you for this first day of the week and now this opportunity that we have to put our minds upon Jesus and the time that he went to the cross for the sins of mankind. Father, we pray that we will examine ourselves this morning as we are about to partake of these emblems the way that we have been instructed to do, and that we will remember the cruel, agonizing death that an innocent individual like Jesus was willing to submit to, that mankind could be redeemed from sin, we could have a second chance for eternal life. It is such a humbling thought, Father, that you were willing to give such a wonderful and marvelous gift, and that Jesus was willing to submit to your will and endure the pain, the suffering, and the shame to go to the cross for all of us. Now, Father, as we're about to partake of these emblems again on this first day, help us that do it in such a way that you'll be pleased. Help us, Father, as we seek to honor our Savior this day. Now, Father, we ask that you be with us as we're about to break this bread. It is a communion of that body that was nailed to the cross. Help us, Father, do it in a way that would be acceptable to you. We ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we continue our thanks for this fruit of the vine, which to us as Christians is a communion with that blood that was poured out upon the cross for the sins of mankind. Again, Father, we ask you to be with us as we partake of it, that we will do so in a manner that would be accepted with you. And we ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen. being the first day of the week, we now, as members of this local congregation, have an opportunity to give back a portion of God, which are material blessings we got this past week. Father, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you now for this opportunity that we have as Christians in this local congregation to turn back to you a portion of the money that we were able to earn this past week. Father, we realize that you bless us with ability and give us opportunity to go out and work and make a living. And we are indeed grateful for that. We pray, Father, that each of us has put careful thought into what we're giving back to the local work here, that we will enable it as best as we can to meet its financial responsibilities as we strive to try to reach out in the community and try to lead people to Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you be with us now as we do this, that we will do it in a way that you'd be pleased with. We ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Willing and able, we'll stand and sing 589, 589 before Brother Chuck brings us a lesson. 589.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning, bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many, will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done.
It'll be 674. 674.
Well, we're saying goodbye to the Collins last week. Saying goodbye to Kenzie, this week that's it. I think we've had our yearly quota of goodbyes. Hope that's it for a while. I want to encourage you to take hold of your Bibles and follow along as we study the scriptures today. We have a number of visitors with us, which is great since we have a lot of our members gone. To get a chance to visit with Becky and Katarina from the New Albany area. They attend where Darren and Christy attend. Don't hold that against them. But it's good to have them with us today as Katarina's looking to be going to school over in this neck of the woods next month. But we won't talk about that because that'll be a goodbye for her mom and she'll get all week. Okay, last Sunday morning we talked about being in Christ. How all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus. And so that is a great blessing. We talked about spiritual blessings. Not physical blessings, but spiritual blessings. And then, of course, we talked about being in Christ's family. That was point number two. It's a great blessing. And then we talked about being in Christ's service, which is a great blessing, being in His service. Today is kind of a spin-off from that very lesson. You know, you think of somebody like Peter himself. You might want to be turning to the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter. In just a few moments, we're going to be reading from that chapter. But you think of Peter, you know, over there in Luke chapter 5. And, you know, here he is. He becomes a follower of Christ, which is great. And being numbered with the apostles in Luke chapter 6. And, of course, him going out and preaching the gospel in Luke chapter 9 when he was sent out on the limited commission. It's kind of like our 3 points from last week. You know, here's somebody who wants to be with Christ, and he's with Christ's followers, and he's doing what Christ wants him to do. And that's like you and I. We were baptized into Christ, and we're added to the church, and we're in His service. It's great. It's wonderful. Well, then we have something like Luke 22. And I want to begin reading in verse 54, what we're going to do today. Verse 54 beginning. Then having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Last week we were talking about being a disciple of the Lord, what it means, being in His family, being in His service. Today's title, Becoming a Secret Disciple. Unfortunately, people find it very comfortable being a secret disciple. And for all intent and purposes, that's basically what Peter was trying to get away with here. I'm not questioning whether Peter followed the Lord. I'm saying what's happening here is Peter's following from a distance. He wanted to do it from afar. Keep it between him and the Lord, so to speak. And so we're going to look at 3 or 4 different aspects of that and talking about the dangers and how people become comfortable in being a secret disciple. Now, you obviously know when I mean that I'm not using it in a positive sense. I'm using it in a negative sense. The first one we're going to be pointing out is found in verse 56. Verse 56, it says, after a little while, verse 56 says, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Now, the him that she's talking about is Jesus. And so what we have is people want to keep it a secret so as you are not identified with him. They want to follow him, but they don't want people to see that they are identifying themselves with him. Because this
verse and says, you are with him. And of course we know in the verse, the next verses, he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. Well, if you don't know him, Peter, why are you trying to follow him from afar? You know him. Come on. Well, that's what happens. People want to follow him at afar. They want to follow him by keeping it a secret. I'm going to be a secret disciple of the Lord. People, followers like for people, you know, not to know that they're Christians. I don't want people to really know that I'm a Christian. You know, because they're going to identify me with Christ. And I'm not going to be able to fit in with them. I just wanted like them, as we read here, you know, it says in verse 56, and a certain servant girl seeing him as he sat by the fire. Did you picture that? I spent long enough in the south now to say fire. So they were sitting around the fire, and what was he doing? Picture it, folks. He's just blending in with them. That's what I want to. I just want to blend in with everybody. I don't want to sit by the fire. That's what I want to do. Hey, you were with him. I wasn't with him. I'm not identifying myself with him. See, I want to follow Jesus. I want to have a relationship with my Lord without other people knowing that I'm identified with him. And so when I'm around other people, I want to keep that kind of a secret between me and him. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. You might want to hold that spot there in Luke 22. We're going to be coming back to that. But over there in Matthew chapter 12, he talks about this in verse 30. He comes right up and says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me is scattered abroad. I mean, either for or against, folks. You can't have it both ways. Peter was wanting that comfort zone of his. I just want to follow from a distance. I'll just keep that a secret until people start pushing it, and he didn't stand up when he should have. Either for or against. And I know there's a lot of pressure for people today to be a secret disciple. There's no question there's a pressure. It's called peer pressure, folks. You want to fit in. You want to be accepted. You want people to like you. You want people to hate you. I mean, who here wants people to hate you? I don't want to be hated. But, of course, Jesus did warn, beware when all men speak well of you. But obviously, then you're just doing what everybody likes, and you're trying to, and you're compromising. And we can't do that. So if you're not for, you're against. Now, back up a couple of chapters to the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Hey, you were also with him. Peter goes, I wasn't. Good looking, folks. It's not going to work being a secret disciple. We can't do that. It's not going to work. If we're not going to confess who we follow and who we live for in this world, it will become apparent by what you don't say or what you go along with here. You're identified with him, and you're proud of that. You're in Christ. You're a Christian. You are trying to be Christ-like. You are going to be different in this world. You are going to be different. That's why we're enjoying, like last week, all those blessings that we enjoy. Being in Christ. Being in his family. Being in his service. John chapter 12, if you will. John chapter 12. Let me share these verses with you, beginning in verse 33. John chapter 12:33. And he said, signifying by what death he would die, the people answered him, we have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. He goes on to talk about that, verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And so at that time, of course, Jesus was going to leave. He was with the one. He was the light of the world. But when he's gone, you are going to be the light. Now, folks, think about that. If people are going to know things about Jesus by seeing you, what are they going to see? I tell you what, if we're not going to identify with him, if we want to be a secret disciple, there's no light. There's no light there for people to see. Light is to light to those in the darkness, and that's Romans chapter 2 and verse 19. Let me just quickly read one more, and that's over in the book of Ephesians. He tells us in the fifth chapter in verse 8, he says, "For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord." You're light in the Lord. That's like last week. You've been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ, where all the spiritual blessings are. And you are light in the Lord because you have that relationship with Him. It's not a secret. Don't keep that a secret from people. I've told you this before in times past. You know, I remember a preacher says, "You know, your paper boy should know that you're a Christian." I don't know, my paper boy's not a Christian. He calls you up and says, "You want the paper?" Yeah, delivers the paper. How do you know I'm a Christian? But I tell you what, if people know you a lot, maybe people don't know that you're a Christian, but if somebody came up to a coworker or a friend and says, "Hey, did you know that that person there, that did you know that they're a Christian?" They might go, "No, doesn't surprise me." Because of the way you live. All right? They would know that. You're lights in this world because of who you follow. You're not a follower of man. You're a follower of Christ. And that's what's so wonderful about all of this. So, there's no room to be a secret disciple if you identify with Christ. Well, the second thing, and we're going to go back to Luke 22. So some people want to be a secret disciple and identifying with Him. Here's another one. People want to keep it a secret that you don't have to associate with other disciples. Did you catch that? I want to be a secret disciple, but I really don't want to be around the other disciples. Where's that in our reading? Well, look at verse 58. Remember this? Did you pick up on this? He already said you were with Him in verse 56. And verse 58 says, "And after a little while, another saw Him and said, 'You also are of them.'" You're of them. First it was, you were of Him. Now you're of them. Huh? I'm not with them. Who are those them? Who are them? Y'all go to that River Ridge Church of Christ. Oh, no, no, no. What are we talking about? Keep that a secret. Unless people know about that, the bet. People get to the point where they're afraid to mention Church of Christ. You've got a bad, bad reputation out there, Church of Christ. Look, that was last week's sermon. I don't want to preach that again. That was point number two, remember? The Lord added us to His church. We're ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that. We've got instant family. Visitors come. They may be different, but not different. They might be people we don't know, but they're sisters. Okay. When people come and visit, from another congregation, they're family. Okay? And of course the point that he's making, you don't do that. You don't say, "I don't know what you're talking about, I don't know what you're saying," as Peter did here. You can't be a secret disciple from the other disciples. As a lady said to me one time, she was off on a lot of points, but when she says, "Here's my church," "Here's your church." That's your shirt. That's your church. The church is a family, okay? And within the family, nobody here. Here's a family. Here's a family of four right here. But not one of them can say, "I'm a family." No, they would say, "I'm a member of the family. I'm a member of the family." And that's what you and I understand. And, of course, with him, look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 26. I went a little farther down the page. Almost messed up badly. Matthew 26. He says in verse 56, and it's a paralleled account, but it gives us a little bit more information. And 27, there's a typo. Hold on. This is not new to me, for those who know me. Now, I'm in Matthew 26. I have it right. Okay, so Matthew 26. And talking about Peter denying the Lord, here it is, verse 74. "And he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.'" We're going to deal with that in just a few moments. Back up a little bit more. And in verse 56. I did have it right. Now this is before Peter denied him. That was in the latter text that we'll get in just a few moments. But he said in verse 56, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Now look at this next line. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." They all forsook him and fled. Now I'm thinking, okay, they fled. Where's Peter? Aren't you going to be with them? Well, they fled. I'm not going to be with them. But what's he doing? Well, he's got that comfort zone, right? I'm going to follow him, but I'm going to follow from afar, and I'm going to, you know, do it secretly. But, you know, when you think about you and I today and the peer pressure and the pressures that we face today as far as being faithful to the Lord, how much strength do we get from one another? You think about that. How much strength does your family get? What happens when there's a death in the family? What happens when there's a death in the family? I know what happens. This family comes together. People, they haven't even seen each other for a long time. You know, I'm having a hard time. I have a hard time getting home. It's nice to get back on and see Mom in a couple weeks ago. Got back to see Mom. But, you know, there are people that we, you know, I haven't seen my brothers. They weren't there. I haven't seen them in forever. But what happens if something happens to my mom? You think I'll see my brother? Of course. Of course. Family comes together when something like that happens. But you know what? We as a family come together not only when bad times, we come together when good times. Well, right now, we come together to worship God. Can you put a price on that? Can you put a price on that? I've often said that, but, you know, we worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:24. Could you imagine if we had to pay to get in here? We don't have to. But I've thought about that. What if the Lord expected us to pay? I was at the door. It cost you $100 just to get in the door. Would you pay to worship God? But I'll tell you this much. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he told them, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You know what? We encourage and admonish one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And when Peter turns to them and says, I am not with them. Look at folks, we are not to be ashamed of what we are part of, the family of God. Imagine denying your own brethren. Could you imagine somebody saying, isn't that the church you attend, and you say no? Could you imagine saying, I couldn't imagine that. I just couldn't imagine it. Hey, isn't that one of your members over there? Don't they tell me? No. You know, it gets us back to the first point. I want to do things secretly. I want a relationship with the Lord, but I'm going to do it on my terms. See, that's what Peter was doing. Peter's like, you know, I know what Jesus did. I walked with him. I saw the miracles. I'm the one shortly before that said, the Lord, I'll never deny you. Isn't that interesting? I'll never deny you. And here he is. He comes in and states that. Now we get down to the crunch. Go back to Luke. Go back to Luke 22. See, the challenge for me is, I don't want to be a secret disciple. In any of these categories that I'm talking about, there's four of them. See, but Chuck, that's impossible. Peter was a faithful follower, and in that short moment, he became a secret disciple. He wanted to keep it a secret. So, folks, I'm not talking about your whole life. I'm talking about, watch out for those opportunities. Just read in verse 59. After about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he was a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And the passage we read a moment ago from Matthew chapter 26 said he began to curse and to swear. Keep it a secret so you don't have to tell the truth. Think about that for a moment. Keep it a secret. I know what you're talking about. You were also, Peter, here's your chance. Speak up. Talk about him. Here it is. Here it is. Tell the truth, Peter. Tell the truth. You see, it's the truth that gets you in trouble, doesn't it? You know, we're not saying it's a bad thing, but there are times when the truth will hurt. There are times when truth will put you out with other people. And we, as God's people, we're not to be ashamed. We're not going to be the type of people that are going to deny. We're not going to lie, because lying means we're going to do something to prevent others from seeing the truth. Following the Lord from a distance, keeping that a secret, and I don't have to tell the truth, but people can choose to be a secret follower. I know that. It does happen. And now, one of the things, and I don't know in verse 62 why Peter went out and wept bitterly, all the reasons why. I know he looked at the Lord. I know the text actually says on some parallel accounts he actually saw the Lord, and then he went out and wept. But you know what comes out ringing loud and clear to me within all of this? Is that he is becoming a secret teacher. Imagine somebody here. Okay, Tim's going to teach. He was going to do it tonight, but we're going to do it next Sunday night. Tim's going to preach a sermon next Sunday night. Imagine he says to Janice, you know what, I'm going to do it in secret. I'm going to keep it a secret. And so he doesn't get up and teach. What did you learn? Nothing. I want to be a secret teacher. You say, well, Chuck, this is just being silly. Who can be it? You can't be a secret teacher. Because if you're a secret teacher, you're not saying anything. Okay? Look what we just read. Three times Peter denied the Lord in front of people. And then we read in Matthew 26, he gets up and he curses and swears, I don't know the man. Who are the people that he just denied to? The people that he has to teach. I've got to teach those people. Well, you're not teaching them, Peter, is the point. Well, I want to be a secret proclaimer, a secret disciple of the Lord. A disciple is a learner, but the disciples were also told to what? Go and teach. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And one of the things that I have commanded you is to go teach. So don't ever think for a moment Matthew 28 does not apply to us, because yes, he was talking to the apostles, but he says, I want you to teach it to them. And one of the things I told you to teach them is to go teach. Now, here's the question. We think about growth. We think about Bible studies. We think about contacts. We think about those that are adding to the bulletin list. We think about home Bible studies with your friends and your neighbors, inviting out to services. I want to ask you something. Is it possible that the reason why we don't have a lot of visitors from your friends and your family is because you're a secret disciple? I'm going to tell you, they're just not going to show up on their own. Your neighbor shows up. Bill! What are you doing here? Glad you came. Bill says, why didn't you invite me? Well, I was providing that great example for you. I backed out of the car every Sunday, and you were watching me every Sunday, and for years you watched me every Sunday come and go, and that's how I was teaching. Well, that's one way. Is it the most effective one? Is it kind of like following at a distance? I want to be a secret teacher. You know, and your friends. Yeah, a friend shows up. Co-worker. Wow, what are you doing here? Would you be shocked? Or you finally say, glad you finally took me up on my own. Glad you finally took me. Evangelist, and I got to tell myself this. This is Chuck Dave. This is me. I'm preaching right at me here. Right at me. And I'm saying, Chuck, is this your only tool of evangelism right here? Is that it? Is that your only tool you're using? The pulpit? Is that the only way you're trying to reach people? Or do you actually try to talk to people outside the doors of this school? Do you actually try to convert people and try to get a Bible study? Would you like to study? Because the point is right here, and in Acts chapter 26, and this is a passage that just comes out loud and clear, ringing loud and clear. You guys know what happened with Agrippa, right? Acts 26. But I want to notice the phrase here. How are we doing? Good. So in verse 26 of Acts 26, it says, for the king, you know, Paul is preaching to him, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, and I'm convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this was done not in the corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, here it is, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Try and persuade somebody to be a Christian by being a secret disciple. Just just how effective are we going to be? How persuasive am I going to be? You know, Peter, did you really want the people around the fire there sitting there going, you know, I think they've done him dirty. I think we all just need to follow him and support him. And Peter, good idea. Let's go. What do you want? You just want to follow the crowd? Blend in? You know, if we're going to teach, you know what it takes? The difficulty is, and that's what's going to happen to Peter, and that's why I love that story in Luke 22. You're going to have to step out on your own, and you know what? It could be dangerous. It can be dangerous, because in Acts 26, you almost persuade me. What could happen with you trying to persuade? Well, I don't want to pick on Katarina. I just met her, but you know, she talked about a roommate. Maybe she'll come up. She's not alone. We all have friends. Maybe they'll come up. But you know what? You're taking a chance, aren't you? Because if you don't, if you want to remain a secret disciple, you don't take any chances. Life is easy. Life is real easy with your neighbors, of blending in with your friends and coworkers. It is easy being a secret disciple when it comes to evangelism. The hard part is when we don't want to be a secret anymore. And yikes, it could jeopardize friendship. They might say no. Okay, so they said no. Well, I don't know if I could deal with that. So it's easier to deal with Peter. Peter, what are you saying? You were with the man. Which is easier, Peter, to say, yes, I know him, or to say, I don't even know him? Which is easier? Well, we know it's easier. I don't know. It's always easy to do the things that we shouldn't. That's why it's called a broad road. The illustration that's been used the last couple, I hate to wear out an illustration since two Wednesday night talks talked about that tightrope walker. And we sometimes wonder, well, that narrow road, you know, that narrow road, Chuck, isn't quite that narrow. There's room, you know, you can fudge a little on that. There's some gray area on that road. No, the gray area is over on that broad road. Truth is narrow. And our Lord said you can know the truth will set you free. With Peter, was it really that bad what he did? Yeah. He denied the Lord. He denied the disciples. He denied the opportunity to teach. He denied the opportunity to tell the truth. Speak up and just tell the truth. And when people do stuff like that, all of a sudden it's not a secret anymore. And we had decided a long time ago, didn't we, brethren? When we obeyed the gospel, that's the Matthew passage, Matthew chapter 10. You know, we are willing to confess him before men because they'll confess before the Father which is in heaven. We're not ashamed. The reason we confessed him before men, Romans chapter 10. Remember your conversion? Do you remember that conversion? Now, it was kind of convenient being around faithful people. But we asked you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you remember what you said? He said, yeah. That wasn't a trick question. Do you believe? You confessed before men your faith in Christ. And then, you know, we baptized you. You were baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin. You rose up in newness of life. It was because of your confession. And you set the tone from there on in. Guess what? I can confess Christ. I'm identified with him. I'm identified with others that are identified with him. I'm going to walk in his light as they are in the light. I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm going to do my best to be a shining light, and I'm going to evangelize. I am going to. So, perfect song, Tony. You know, we want to sow the seed. We want to reach out. We want to help people learn. And it's going to take courage on our part. And here's the good news now. Now that I might beat myself up and say, Chuck, you can do better. Okay, here's the good news. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Paul says, godly sorrow leads to repentance. I can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4 and point out that Peter became an elder. And you know what the qualifications for an elder? One of the qualifications for an elder? You go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and you read it, and Titus chapter 1 and you read those qualifications. And that's have a good reputation from without and within. You think he would have qualified that afternoon here?
Well, Point Peter is an elder. He just denied him three times, and those people, it's fresh in their mind.
But it does tell me over time people can change. And that goes for all of us. We can get stronger, we can get closer to the Lord, identifying with Him, with our brethren, telling the truth, and evangelism. And where are you? Are we going to be a secret disciple? We see the ramifications of that. It's not the route to go. Is it the easy route to go? Absolutely. Did Peter really need to go off and cry? Folks, did Peter really need to go off and cry? He told the people, he said no. And so they're accusing him, but they really don't have it. They only have his word, right? And he's sitting there saying, I don't know them. So at that point, everything's cool. So why did he go off and leave? Because of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. It's breaking my heart. Truth does that. Truth does that to me. It does that to you. That's why you're here. That's why you obey. And if you haven't obeyed, you need to come back. Truth can do that. Now, something else about truth. It can be resisted. You can resist it. That's what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7. You resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. You can resist it. You can sit there and not even face it. And that would be the people there that were accusing Peter. You were with him. You were with them. Well, my question would be, if I was there, I'd say, well, why weren't you with him, and why weren't you with them? Because they didn't want to. That was their choice. Right? Free will. That was their choice. And so we can never force people to be a disciple that's not secret. It's open. But that's what we need to be. But there's pressure. The devil actually doesn't mind if you're a disciple of Christ, as long as it's going to be secret. Be a Christian. Keep it to yourself. What do we teach the kids? With little Lucy, you just do this, and she starts singing. This little light of mine. Hide it under a bushel. No! No! Don't hide it under a bushel. Folks, don't do it. Don't do it. There's a danger there, but there's so much work to be done. Again, I don't want it to be a downer. Remember last week's lesson. Remember those 3 points. And today, I just wanted to show you that we could have all those wonderful things, and Peter fit into them. And then all of a sudden, there he was. No, I choose to be a secret. First of all, are you a Christian? That's the most important question I could ever ask anybody. Are you a Christian? Bible teaches how we become a Christian. And I didn't go into great detail, but you know you need to be a follower of Christ. And you need to put on Christ in baptism. But you can't do that until you believe in Him and you're willing to repent. Turn away from the old life. Life and look and go towards Him. Change your mind. That's repent. Confess Him as we talked about, then be baptized into Christ, remission of your sins. Rise up in newness of life. Then what? Well, as working with a family, serve Him. But don't do it secretly. Because if we've done it secretly, then we've done something wrong. We have to repent. Change. So folks, the invitations are going to be set. When we stand and sing in a moment, if you need the prayers of the congregation, we're here to help. You need to become a child of God, we're here to help. But folks, let's get to heaven. Let's get to heaven by helping each other get there. Follow the truth. Don't be ashamed of it. Let the word prick you to do what is right. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come?